Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Hello, welcome to the Feed Your Wild podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Rodriguez. And if you've been tuning in, welcome back. Today, we are talking about this lunar eclipse in the sign of Libra. And before we dive in, I wanted to just say that I loved hearing from so many of you who tuned into the last episode, which was our spring equinox episode with the special Akashic reading, the channeling that came through for that, and the call to you as a listener to join our Feed Your Wild community. And while I haven't created it yet, I wanted to just simply see if this was something that you had interest in connecting with other like-hearted healers and folks who tune into the podcast and are part of this collective and get together to chat about the episodes, the Akashic channelings, and have the chance to access exclusive content like additional Akashic soul nourishment channelings, which have been coming through, and I've had the directive to put more out there. And I want to do so in a way that is more engaging, making it a conversation, a dialogue. So if you're interested in co-creating a beautiful community with us together, you can raise your hand by signing up for our wait list to grab your spot and to learn more. And if there's enough folks that are really interested in this, then we'll make it happen. You could sign up for the waitlist at wildlyrooted.com/community. And all links are in the show notes. And so here we are. Welcome to eclipse season of 2024. Eclipses are always highly transformative. They bring shifts, changes, upheavals, sometimes radically change your life and or the collective field. And they are points in the celestial chemistry, if you will, that really allow us to move through levels of consciousness and to reach new evolution and state of our own consciousness as well as the collective consciousness. So while they can be challenging, eclipses always, always, always support us in getting back to the track where we are supposed to be and where we need to be. So yes, eclipses also happen for you. And I know that that can sound so trite, when especially when we're going through some really challenging shit. And it can sound very patronizing to say something like that. Well, oh, this is happening for you. Can't you see the goodness in it right now? And of course, no, F no. This feels really crappy right now. And that's okay. Move through it. Feel it. It is. It can be. And it doesn't always have to be, right? It really depends on, is this incredibly active, this particular eclipse season and these two eclipses that we're going to be talking about within this particular cycle? Are they super activating in your chart? Because everybody has a different birth chart and celestial blueprint, so to speak. So these are going to affect people differently. You may not feel anything, but maybe tune into some shifts that are happening on the collective level, whereas others may literally have life-changing moments occur with these couple of eclipses. So the first eclipse of this season is this lunar eclipse in Libra that happened today, March 25th. And eclipses, I mentioned in the last episode, eclipses are supernatural. They are really eerie, especially when we get to the total solar eclipse. That one is really powerful and super eerie, right? But even when you plug in nature naturally and witness the stars and the environment during eclipses, it brings a shift in the vibe, in the environment. And we could see this ripple through nature with the animals, the birds getting quiet, it's like everything kind of just hides. And that's sort of, I think that's some helpful insight also in how we can prepare for these eclipses and any eclipse really. Traditionally, it's said that it's best to stay inside, to not do any rituals or ceremonies, especially with solar eclipses, not to be outside. Now, is anything terrible going to happen? I have definitely been outside during solar eclipses in the past and have participated in some celebrations around that. Can I pinpoint anything that has happened to me? No, not exactly, like in connection with that. But maybe there was a ripple effect. Who knows? But that's just kind of what is said in terms of a traditional way of approaching eclipse season. But I know that a lot of people, especially with the total solar eclipse, because it's such a huge event and it's happening right smack across the United States, that there's going to be a lot of eclipse chasers and people hanging out outside and doing ceremony and things like that. So just pay attention, take care, and just making sure that you're doing things in so much reverence and respect and integrity, just as with anything else. I also mentioned this, that the last Libra eclipse, which happened October 24th. So let me backtrack a little bit. March 25th today at 5 degrees of Libra, we had this lunar eclipse. And check where that falls in your chart, because that's going to be an indication of maybe where and what area of your life this is most impacting you. But a lunar eclipse is like a big full moon. It's about endings, completions. This one, it's emphasized because the moon is conjunct the south node. And so the south node is what we are leaving behind. And it's also a culmination of sorts. So the themes with Libra specifically are around relationships. So relationships of all kinds. This can be, yes, of course, personal and romantic relationships, but also contracts, agreements, alliances. And with Libra also linked with legality, there could be a lot in terms of like legal relationships as well. So here we put these together, it's relationships ending and or changing in relational dynamics. Libra, in its lower expression, is people-pleasing. There's compliance. There's like wanting to appease everyone. I don't want to rock the boat. I'm just going to go with the crowd. I'm going to abandon myself so that I'm accepted, so that I keep the peace, so to speak. And yet, when we have Libra in its beautiful higher expression, Libras are the keepers of harmony, of beauty. This is the planet Venus that rules Libra. So Libra folks are incredibly interpersonal. They are about relationships, familial, friendships, romantic, and really graceful, lovely humans. They're also the cultivators of pleasure within the astrological family, so to speak. And again, in connection with legality, there's the scale, the symbol of the sign of Libra. There's an emphasis on diplomacy, equanimity, everyone really getting their equal share. And that's where that downfall can come in the wanting that to happen when it actually isn't. So then giving up of yourself in order to keep the peace and to bring balance. But really, it's an illusion of balance. It's not actual balance. So you can get caught up in sort of forgetting or, again, abandoning your own sense of what it is that you desire or who you are. And so here, I think the key word is harmony. Harmony, harmony. This is what Libra really seeks. Now, with so much happening, there's a lot of planets and activity in the signs of Pisces, Aries, and Taurus. So check out which houses those fall in your chart and those areas of your life. But there is so much activity around awakening to your inner authority and really examining where you have left yourself behind, where you have been overly compliant to the detriment of yourself and to others and to your relationships, because that's a form of not just abandoning yourself, but that's not truthful. You're not being truthful to yourself or to others. If you're people-pleasing, then you're not actually sharing your truth. You're not being truthful with the people that you are connecting with. So I think that's something important to tune into and sort of a reframe, so to speak. And with Venus and Saturn in Pisces, we talked about this in the last episode. This is a reality check on relationships. And again, it could be pragmatic relationships. It doesn't have to be romantic relationships. But this will give us the ability to be objective, you know, because when we're in it, it's really hard to be objective. And I feel like the Saturn piece really helps to bring that objectivity that's so necessary, that just enough distance to see where you might be imbalanced in relationship. And look at where that falls in your chart, Venus and Saturn together in Pisces. And again, there's a lot of rethinking here and moving, shifting things around in order to cultivate harmony, but in a really practical, pragmatic way. And also restructuring. So restructuring the relational dynamics, restructuring also resources, maybe even finances with Venus. And maybe it's even like restructuring your home, reorganizing, redesigning, you know, like interior design, moving things around, shifting the energy, very feng shui, bringing in balance again and flow in you, all of your environments. And so again, check where this is falling in your chart. It could be really great, again, also for consolidating a long-term relationship. But this does feel like there's going to be a lot of emotional introspection, even though Saturn is a little bit more of like the practical or pragmatic. Venus and in Pisces, there's going to be emotions here. So allow for that. Allow for that emotional introspection to come through. And we also have Venus sextiling Jupiter. Jupiter expands. And so there's this like wanting to expand beyond what is currently in place in our relational dynamics. So maybe you're not happy with your current relationship, whether that's a romantic relationship or a legal contractual partnership, and you're ready to expand beyond that. And so what needs to be in place to support alignment with what it is that you do desire and to step into that expansion? Because Jupiter is also right there alongside Uranus. So this is expansion of authenticity, the need for freedom. Uranus is all about freedom. It's connected to Aquarius. So there's probably going to be that sense that you have, that desire that comes up, especially if these are really active in your charts. And I talked about Mercury before. Mercury is in Aries. So again, this is kind of having some fire behind your voice, maybe some quick-wittedness, and it can be a little extra. So we want to pay attention to not having a super sharp tongue when it's not necessary or required, or might be detrimental actually for you or the situation. But we also have Mercury in Aries conjunct Eris. Eris as a dwarf planet, also here in connection, it has similar qualities of Aries, but it's more of like a feminine type of energy. a yin type of energy, and standing for truth. Really, again, fighting for equanimity, that everybody has a voice. This is also warrior, warrioress energy. And again, assertively, speaking clearly, but there's something around like pointing out or speaking to aspects or areas where that equanimity is absent. And that could be in your relationships. We obviously see it collectively, governmentally, socially, politically. We see that happening, and that's going to amplify and continue over the next couple of years, especially. But check to see how this is impacting you on a personal level too. And we got a lot going on in Aries. There's a lot of planets in Aries. The sun just entered Aries. And the vibe with Aries is I am. Who does? I just entered the room. So I know who I am. So there's an orientation here and an energy of cultivating that, remembering that within yourself and the importance of doing so. And on the 28th of March, we're going to see Venus sextile with Uranus, which again, that's sort of like this. We can begin to feel a need or a want or a desire for freedom, for independence, and not being locked into a situation. So I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of breakups, yes, in romantic relationships, but also like in business partnerships, in legal contractual agreements. And now, having said all of that, I will say that it also is traditionally not recommended to make any big decisions or signing off on things, right, to actually executing things during eclipse season, because there's so much happening. And then we haven't even hit the total solar eclipse yet on April 8th. So we want to wait till all of that is behind. You know, what's really interesting, I just have to share on a personal note with that. There's so many things because of this energy is very activating. It's very illuminating, right? There's a lot of fire here. And with spring and all of that, I want to take action. I want to get shit done. There's so many things that I want to do. And yet every time I sit down and I tune in, I open up, connect with the records, I'll pull some cards, work with tarot, work with my pendulum. Each time it's like, patience, patience. Nope. The light is not green. The light is not green. New moon, which is like, okay, like that's basically wait until after eclipse season. And it's so frustrating, right? It could be so frustrating. If you're really trying so hard to make something work and it's not working for you, that is a huge indication that you just need to kind of pause. Take a sacred pause and let it go for now, because it'll probably happen more easily and without a ton of efforting when the timing is right. And that's not to say that just sit back, relax, and wait for things to happen in your life. Obviously, I like to pray with my feet as well, but it's all in divine timing. So lots of things on my end, which were rescheduled, pushed out. And obviously, if you've tuned into my last podcast episode, my dear, dear abuela, Purificación Pura, passed last week. And while I had expected it, of course, you never know when it's going to come through. And it just so happened to be very, very close also to the 1-year anniversary of my other grandmother, my abuela Juanita. So gosh, there's been so much introspection and reflection and connecting with families and obviously moving my schedule around and pausing and creating space for the unexpected and for connecting with family and in relationships. So a lot happening there. And I know that that's showing up in different ways for different people, right? I'm not going to talk too much about the total solar eclipse because I'm going to wait for that podcast episode when that comes out. But that one is a really big one. It's the most powerful one of the year. And I got to hold back because that it's going to take over this episode. But just know it's an Aries solar eclipse. Chiron is also very much at play. Lots of healing and connection there. Lots going on. Okay. So I mentioned Mercury in Aries. Mercury and like the fiery tongue, you know, this is going to help us to cut through bullshit, to get clear, to get decisive, to really hone in our focus, which is so, so good, I think, to get to the truth of something. And just to be straight, like, give it to me straight. That's what Mercury in Aries is about. And I think that there's also here a focus on priorities, which as all these shifts begin to happen, I think this energy behind the planet of communication is going to assist us in maybe bringing out the things that we didn't even know we had to say in the context of certain situations or with people, and to just get to the heart of the matter and share the truth. And that might be what's needed in cultivating harmony within that field of that dynamic. So this eclipse is definitely going to emphasize any imbalance that we are experiencing in the patterns that we have cultivated. Because if you are in a relationship, you have co-created that. Even if you want to say, well, I didn't choose my parents, for example, I didn't choose my child who is now going against me or something, or I didn't choose my boss. You could say that, well, you might have very well chosen them, actually, but on the soul level, but it's beyond the point because there is still a relationship that was established and you are a part of that and you co-created it. So you have the power to navigate that and to mitigate it and remedy certain things that don't feel so good for you. And this eclipse is going to really emphasize any imbalance that you're just ready to let go, that it's time to cut the cords and to release, especially when it comes to any kind of dynamic that feels disempowering, that feels draining, that has shut you off from your desires and your truth. And I think one of the best ways to move through this, when obviously I mentioned just before, taking action right now isn't necessarily indicated, although of course, like things can happen. I know that I experienced that. I didn't make a particular choice that was a really pivotal one for me. It kind of, quote, happened, but it happened during eclipse season. And while it was very challenging, it ultimately was the right path for me. And so as much as you can, support yourself, you know, shut off all the noise, distractions, really up your self-care and nourishment and create a safe space for yourself if that is possible for you. And yeah, just kind of like, this is the Cancer side of me. My Cancer son is like, go in your shell, go in your crab shell. That's like what I'm going to be doing, obviously, proverbially, because there's going to be tons of family here and we're going to have to be interacting and all of that. But allow yourself some time for that, for yourself, and that ability and that space to replenish yourself while you're moving through some big shifts is going to help you to emerge out of this particular eclipse with more energy, with clarity, and with agency. Now, you'll probably have clues as to what's up for renegotiation or what you're really ready to release, because it's not all of a sudden it's going to be highlighted, although there is like a culmination point here. But this eclipse is part of a storyline that has been revealing itself since the last eclipse season of 2023. So since April of 2023, we've had this activity in this Aries Libra axis, and you know, this dynamic Aries Libra, it's like independence, I am, and then Libra, which is this harmony, peacekeeping, let's do this together. And so this particular lunar eclipse is going to culminate or amplify whatever has been blossoming or revealing itself. If it doesn't feel like a beautiful blossom, you know, let's be real. Especially when we tune back into the Libra eclipse that happened last October in 2023. Last thing I have to say is that these are collective events as well. And Libra eclipses can correlate with global events. I mentioned, you know, its connection with legality and the legal system. And it absolutely can have to do with political agreements, negotiations around borders and boundaries, and peacekeeping, wars, all of that. And sort of this like pressure, even when we look at the political system in the United States having a bipartisan system, and now things really starting to shake up with new kinds of presidential candidates, I would argue. So I'm not going to get super political here, but it's just, I encourage you, especially if you're in the United States, to pay attention. I honestly feel like sometimes international folks outside of the United States are paying more attention to the United States than some U.S. folks. So I don't know. I've definitely met people that have proven that to be true, which is very interesting. Obviously, the U.S. and the government of the U.S. impacts the global field, globalization, and everything really is connected. But we have the moon conjunct the midheaven of the United States. And what's interesting about this, now a lot of different astrologers use the specific chart of the Declaration of the Independence as the point to create the birth chart, so to speak, of the United States. And it's at Libra. The midheaven connects in with the government, the leadership. And this moon, this lunation is around endings. It's linked to this. The ending is linked to the government or the leadership of the United States. And we have the total solar eclipse on the 8th in April that is falling across the United States. And the United States is in its Pluto return. It's a shit show, basically. There's going to be. And not to mention that we have election season, okay? April 8th is a total solar eclipse that is potentially going to create a big split in the United States. And then we have election season, November 2024 is elections. So bust out your non-GMO popcorn, y'all, because I think there's going to be a lot to witness. You know, I don't know what that might be. I don't think any of us can truly predict. There's a lot that can be insinuated through the stars. A lot of astrologers have made their particular predictions. Of course, there's also psychics and channelers that have also made theirs. But honestly, I feel like we're not meant to pierce 100% through the veil of mystery. That kind of defeats the purpose of being here human on Earth. So while I think some people are going to hit the mark, I think there's always going to be just some things that are unknown and are meant to stay unknown. Yeah, I'll talk more about this stuff in April, the total solar eclipse, and then April 20th, Jupiter conjunct Uranus. There's going to be a lot more talk about that, especially with astrologers too. And so stay tuned for more on that. There is something, though, that I thought was really interesting, and I actually heard this from Joni Petri, who is a Vedic astrologer, but I really, really love everything she shares, even though my primary orientation is through Western tropical astrology, mostly because that's just how I entered astrology and learned it through the medical astrology lens and through a Western tropical lens and a more traditional form of astrology at that. But I absolutely respect and like my mind is usually totally blown by the predictions that can come through with a really good Vedic astrologer. And I feel like Joni is a really good Vedic astrologer who's also really popular and she's got a lot of YouTube videos out there. She had mentioned a little bit, speaking of politics and sort of these big shifts that we might see happening April 20th of 2025. So what's to come in the year following with Saturn conjunct Rahu. So Rahu is the north node of the moon. And within the Vedic astrology, it's considered a shadow planet. And in April 20th, 2025, Saturn conjunct Rahu in Pisces. So Saturn conjunct the North Node. And Venus, by the way, Venus is thrown in there too. She mentions that the last time they were together in Pisces was 1968. And that was the year that both Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated and Robert Kennedy was assassinated. And isn't it interesting that his son, Robert Kennedy Jr., is running for president? And by the way, has been denied protection by the current administration, which I think is kind of ridiculous. I think he's the only presidential candidate that has been denied. I am not, I would say, a huge follower of all the details of politics, although I try to tune in and come out from the ethers and the clouds. And my primary orientation is more of like an Akasha type of person, really coming down and rooting down into our material realm and the earth and the pragmatic piece. And yes, the politics, because it's actually important to just be aware, at least, of what is going on. In my 20s, I used to be very active as, I would say, like a social advocate activist or an activist, especially when it came to health and pharmaceutical industry and all of the shadiness that happens there. I no longer participate in the same kind of way because I have found a way for me personally that is more effective, not just for my own well-being, but also for supporting the collective as it pertains to my specific mission here on Earth. But I have so much respect for people who are in these circles, and I think that there's a lot of, gosh, self-care and healing and support that's necessary for people who are more boots on the ground and participating in these systems that are incredibly imbalanced. One of the independent journalists that I have been following that I find not only just really effective as an independent journalist, but incredibly creative in the way that she presents information. And it's entertaining. Yeah, can we just also make it easy to consume and enjoyable? And that is actually a possibility. And that's Jessica Reed Krause from House and Habit. I followed her before she was doing her independent perspective on the campaign trails, but I am just loving what she is doing now, moving into the political space and in these circles in her true scorpionic fashion as a true Scorpio, really getting deep. And that she highlights and covers different candidates, but like she does so fairly. And you could tell that she actually enjoys her time with each of them. I just find there's less bias there. And it's just really freaking entertaining too, which maybe that's something that some folks might see as a detriment, you know, the need to make this entertaining. I don't, but to each one's own. So if you're interested in checking her out, I think she has now reached the status of the number one top culture Substack. And she's on Instagram at House and Habit. If you're interested in diving into her world. Okay, so that was a lot. Let's come back. Let's come back home. Let's come back home to the self, because this is what it's really all about. It's making sure that you are taking care of yourself so that you can show up in the highest way and do the good work that you are here to do. Yes, I'm talking to my healers, my healing practitioners, my healing artists, and you are still a healer. It doesn't mean that your vocation has to be a healing artist, like you're an actual practitioner. I know so many people who have healers' hearts who are mothers, fathers, your neighbor, your auntie, your uncle, the local barista, right? There are just people who have a healer's heart and they absolutely are supporting the healing energy and the healing of the collective by simply being who they are. So I'm talking to you. And one thing that I see all of us have in common is the tendency to not really bring in a ton of self-care, right? There's so much about output and giving the care to others, that sort of external orientation in terms of care and like quote healing, because in reality, we are all self-healers. So a quote healer is somebody who is simply bringing someone support in their remembrance of their healing capacity and allowing their bodies, their minds, their hearts, their spirits to heal themselves. That's what real healing is. And so lunar eclipses, I think I heard Chani Nicholas, who's another astrologer who I really, really love, she mentioned that the lunar eclipses are like salt scrubs for the emotional body. And I love that because it brings that level of, like, you could just even feel the texture, right? Sometimes it feels kind of uncomfortable when you got salt scrub that's a little abrasive here, right? It's sloughing off stuff, and yet the effects of it after are glorious. So she says that these lunar eclipses are like the salt scrubs for the emotional body and really sloughing off stuck feelings, stuck emotions. And that's something that we can look forward to. So while it may feel uncomfortable, while you may be in a state of discomfort during, yes, pain can come through as well, just know that it's going to lead to something that feels so much better, that this shedding of what you're meant to release anyway, what's not supportive for you, the extra weight, the extra skin cells that are already dead, the memories, the emotions, the moods, and all of that, that is just taking up space, creating more clutter, and not allowing us to be connected to the clarity that we already have within us. So because of this, and because of the emotional scrubbing, it's really important that we tend to ourselves, especially our hearts and our bodies as our nervous system. Lots and lots of self-care. What does this look like for you? Well, maybe for some, this is naps. Maybe for others, it's writing in your journal. Maybe it's meditating, going out for a walk, having a dance session, reflecting in your cold plunge or your hot tub and sipping on that hot cup of tea. Maybe it's petting your beloved animal friend, hugging a loved one, slowing down, just really slowing down and creating some level of coziness for yourself to help assist you in moving through a lot of what wants to be shifted. So for me, one thing that I have been doing regularly is sipping a mat tea. I always have my tea on hand. And this week I've been on a rotation of chamomile and fennel and milky oats. And then I'll also do some Tulsi oat straw. Tulsi is one of my absolute favorites. So right now I'm sipping on Tulsi oat straw tea with a dash of some dragon well green tea. Also, I've set up alarms for myself to play music that I love and uplifts me so I could get my butt moving, because I'm often sitting at my desk, at my computer, recording or working with clients. And having those alarms set up with some affirmations and amazing music, being also a manifesting generator with a kitchens variable. So I'm a kitchens person. And if you're not familiar with human design, there are certain elements within one's design that highlight which environment is most supportive for you. I am a kitchens kid. So dancing is like so amazing. I was a dancer for a long time as well. So dancing is incredibly important, and I haven't been dancing for a while. So bringing that back in, but in like a fun, playful, and unexpected way with these alarms is actually really uplifting and is changing the game for me. Also going to cafes as a kitchens person. So if anybody is a kitchens person, and you'll find that in your environment variable in your human design, And of course, like intuitively, you just know, right? I was doing these things before I knew that I was a kitchens person, right? So the things that you're most attracted to. But for me, going to a cafe is just something that can also shift something within me and supports my nervous system. The other thing that I've been doing that's been so, so beautiful, I've been doing it since last year, is upping my contemplation game. So the contemplative practice, it's a meditative practice also with contemplative prayer. But one thing that I'm doing consciously as a contemplative practice is revisiting my Venus sequence from the Gene Keys. So Richard Rudd's Gene Keys. If you've been tuning into the podcast, then you know it's one of the most supportive resources that I have found in my own journey has been the Gene Keys. And there's different sequences within your Gene Keys that you can follow. He has a program for various sequences. And one of them is the Venus line. It's the Venus sequence. And I've been doing this since last year. And you go through your specific Gene Keys connected to your Venus sequence. And I cannot tell you how incredibly supportive it is, especially now with my grandmother's passing the past couple of years. This is such a significant period in my life for reflection upon my relationships, especially as I'm communing with family and celebrating the lives of these amazing women, my ancestral lineage and connection, because with the Venus sequence, you're diving into also ancestry and your inner child work. Since conception and through adulthood, these specific periods of your life and in connection with the planet Venus. So very maternal here. This is important for me in my point in time right now. And connection to the divine feminine. Here, Venus is also the ruler of Libra, which is our moon today. And ultimately, with that path and that sequence and contemplation, remembering my own gifts that are within my Venus sequence, it's been totally illuminating. So I highly, highly recommend that. And I'll try to link it up in the show notes for you below. One message that I've been getting a lot is that healers, healing artists, healing practitioners, you know, that population that I spoke to before when I'm talking to you, you need to work on your unconscious and subconscious ecology, the realms. Everybody does, but I'm getting so many messages from my own guides and from my highest self that this is such important work, not just for supporting us here in the material realm and within our relationships and how we show up in life, but also in terms of our spiritual connection and the quality and type of information we receive intuitively. It's really important that we do our cleanup work, so to speak, that we touched on in our Akashic reading last episode, within the realms of our unconscious and subconscious. Incredibly important. So tune into that spring equinox Akashic reading, because there's a lot there around spring cleaning on that level. But taking that even further into your material realm with Libra, here, Libra, Venus ruled sign, beautify your environment. Do a cleaning, a clearing out, reorganization, sweep with your favorite herbs, you know, smoke out with your favorite herbs, and really release anything that you don't love, that's not serving you, that's taking up space, that's not aligned, that's holding you back from just ultimately like a really balanced nervous system, right? But also your truth, your potential. So really cleaning and purifying your living space. And that can be with like redesign and reorganization too. And really rest, like build in that rest and whatever that might mean for you, and prioritize quality time with people and with activities and events that actually support your nervous system and replenish and nourish you. So getting into Libra and sort of the medical astrology aspects here, Libra is an air sign. And as we've already mentioned and established, the ruling planet of Libra is Venus. We have the tissue states connected to Libra, as there's two different tissue states here that we see. When I went, by the way, let me backtrack a little bit. if you're new here. So tissue states, when I talk about tissue states, we're talking about physiologically and energetically. So the energetic system of traditional Western herbalism. We could see our tissues in various states and they may indicate certain imbalances. So we can have a dry tissue state. So this is also connected to Libra. Dry tissue states, there's a lack of hydration, there's a lack of flow, there's a lack of movement and activity, right? And then we have damp relaxation. And that is too much water, too much looseness and laxity. We're missing and lacking the tonicity. We want things to have tone and to be strong. But with damp relaxation, we see it as more like too overly wet, overly relaxed. With the body systems in connection with Libra, we have the kidneys and the urinary system, really anything that there's twos of. So the ovaries, the kidneys, and the adrenals. We also see hormones in general, so the endocrine system and hormones and estrogen, and of course, the ovaries producing a lot of hormones. And we also see the lower region of the back, so like the lumbar region of the back. And with the kidneys, you could say also filtration systems of the body, so distillation and filtration and those processes in the body. With imbalances, when we see imbalances with the kidneys or with the ovaries, then we tend to see certain disease states or health challenges. We could see kidney stones. We could see, obviously, if it gets really bad, we see the need for dialysis. So diabetes there in connection here with the state of the kidneys and sugar addiction and all of that. We also can see UTIs, urinary tract infections, and issues with the urinary system in general, inflammation of urinary system, the ureters. We can see also certain skin complaints and lower back issues. We can see because of Venus and connection to the veins, we could see issues with the veins, varicosities. We could see hemorrhoids, which is an issue and imbalance with the venous system. And then hormonal imbalance, especially when it has to do with estrogen, too much or too little. So when we look at too much laxity, too much relaxation, we want to bring in herbs that are going to tonify the tissue. And that's typically astringent herbs that are going to do that. And with that type of tissue state, and as well as dry tissue state, we want to bring in some stimulation. So some stimulating herbs can be really helpful too. Now, we also want to bring in herbs that I feel like are supportive for the nervous system. I feel like that's true for all signs. Like everybody needs support for your nervous system. That's just sort of like baseline, foundational. But things that bring in that sense of soothing qualities, relaxation, but as it relates to the nervous system, not relaxation of the tissues even more if they're too much in a relaxed state. Some Libra supportive herbs in connection with this beautiful sign are Damiana, thyme, yarrow, rose, nettles. Also, like when we're thinking of sort of remedy herbs or mitigating herbs and herbs that can be helpful in bringing in either more stimulation or the astringency, nettles, burdock, black cohosh, ashwagandha with this sort of balancing quality, and passion flower. And I thought that we could dive a little bit into passion flower today. Passion flower, very connected to the moon. So here we have a lunar eclipse, but also with Venusian energies too. And passion flower is primarily seen as a relaxing sedative. It's under the category of nervine hypnotic. So these herbs have a stronger nervous system effect and can be used to induce deeper states of relaxation and sleep. This is often used to support folks with sleep issues too. And nervine hypnotics are remedies that are often used later in the day or the evening to help wind down and get ready for sleep because they may be a little too strong during the daytime and especially for the morning. And they can be really helpful for people who have anxiety or panic attacks and also for the treatment of pain because if it's relaxation and sedative qualities. So passion flower can help calm the mind and soothe the nerves. And it's cooling, so it can cool hot blood, hot heat, if there's an overabundance of heat in the body. And it can be really helpful to mitigate or relieve symptoms that are brought on by that heat. Sometimes it's pain or tension or headaches, migraine even, and this can really bring sort of a cooling relaxation effect for that. It is antispasmodic, so anything that is kind of spazzy, like spasms, literally, or hiccups or convulsions or tremors, things like that, that are caused by too much tension, that also helped by passion flower. In this way, it's really helpful, especially helpers and healers, I would say, but overworkers in general, that have a challenge with taking a freaking break, like just resting. If you are somebody who just cannot stop, then passion flower, it can be really helpful to cultivate more rest in your life, even if it's just for some minutes. It's just to kind of sink into your being and that state of relaxation. And again, in that way, it's really helpful if you're struggling with sleep issues, insomnia. It can help to assist in restoring healthy sleep patterns and really help you to have a good night's sleep so you can wake up more refreshed. So in this way, it's really great for a busy brain, people who cannot turn off the chatter or the thoughts and the conversations in their brain. This is really helpful to bring a sense of calm and quiet even, and evenness to the mind. And it's an anodyne, so it's really helpful in pain relief. I have used this in the past very successfully for heavy menstruation and cramping. And it's been really, really supportive in that way, and probably more so than a lot of others that are more often used to address those issues. That's been my personal experience in working with some clients. Interestingly, it could be a really supportive remedy during the recuperation period if when you're coming off of dependence on certain drugs, including Ritalin, amphetamine, and cocaine. And that's because passion flower builds up GABA levels, which counterbalances excessive glutamate. And when we have excessive glutamate, it's an excitatory neurotransmitter. And so what happens is it counterbalances the excess of that, but it also helps to resensitize the dopamine receptor sites. Because what happens in addiction is that those dopamine receptor sites in the dopamine synapses get desensitized. And those play an important part of the long-term recuperation from an addiction. So we have to resensitize, and passion flower actually can help support this. Now, of course, work with your primary healthcare provider, your doctor, when it comes to anything around addiction and coming off of any drugs. It's really important that you have support. But just know that there are really amazing herbs that are supportive for you on that journey. Now, emotionally, passion flower is really amazing when we're having a fucking breakdown. when you're having a nervous breakdown, when you're in a healing crisis, when eclipse season, hello, like emotions are on high, volume turned up, maybe you're feeling super raw, emotional, anxiety is through the roof. Passion flower can be your best friend. It could just bring that level of calm, sedation, and rebalance during a really chaotic time. So if you're feeling like that's you, then work with your herbal friends. And I have a really great triplet formula from Seja Popham, from that School of Evolutionary Herbalism, who I've had on the podcast maybe like 3 times. He's one of my teachers and friends, and he has a great, very simple formula that you can make or you can look for, and this is a tincture. So this is a classic balanced hypnotic triplet, and that includes equal parts passion flower, skullcap, and valerian. And this works so well. If you tend to have cold constitution, like if you're extra cold, then you can maybe boost up the amount of valerian.
if you're more on the side of too much heat or you overheat or you have a lot of inflammation, then you can increase the skull cap, but keeping passion flower the same. And those three, that triplet working together, is really, really supportive. And lastly, I wanted to share that I got the invitation to pull some of our herbal astrology oracle cards from the Herbal Astrology Oracle Deck by Adriana Ayales from Anima Mundi. And they had me pull three. And interestingly, none of them really have to do with Venus, but they all are connected with the moon. And I'm not going to go through each one in depth, but I'm going to just name the word and sort of the intention and the theme connected to each herb and plant spirit so that you can contemplate, you can connect and maybe dive more deeply with whichever one is really calling you. The first one we pulled, which actually was pulled for a group call that I had inside of my group mentorship program, the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway. This is my 9-month intuitive healing practitioner mentorship and mastermind program. And we have practicums where we come online and we work together. We practice together, open up the Akashic Records, and it's just amazing. And I pull some cards and I do specific readings for those. And we got this card. This was just this week. And that is Pau D'Arco. And Pau D'Arco is connected to the moon and Pluto. And the word, the theme word for Pau D'Arco within this deck is metamorphosis. Now, I will say there's a connection with the dark goddess here, as well as the power of the cosmic womb and the physical womb and the energetic womb. So tune into that for yourself if that feels like it resonates. The second card that came through, also connected to the moon and connected to Neptune, is mugwort. And I think we spoke about mugwort before when we were more in Pisces season. Mugwort here in connection with psychic healing. So tune into this. There's a lot of grandmother energy here, owl energy, and of course with Neptune, just so much in terms of the spirit and celestial realm and the waters. So not just psychic, but also emotional healing, I would say too. And the last card, also connected with the moon and also connected with Pluto, like our first card, Kava Kava, and that is community. I mentioned this one before. This has come up in a group call that we've had inside our program as well. I think that community here is going to be really, really, really critical over these next couple of years where there's going to be a lot of change. And I feel a lot of tumultuous events that are going to be happening on a collective level. So find your community. What does that mean for you? Metamorphosis with Pau D'Arco, psychic healing with mugwort, and community with Kava Kava. Again, I would love to hear from you how all of this lands, what herbs, what energies, what practices are supporting you during eclipse season. And let me know if you're interested in joining our community and you really want that to be birthed. I will do so post eclipse season because, again, not 100% recommended to start something in the middle of eclipse season. So I'm really using this time to gauge whether or not you would be even interested, because I only want to create this if it's actually beneficial and supportive for you. So please, please, please let me know. Go over to wildlyrooted.com/community to sign up for the waitlist and let me know by signing up. I'm sending you so many blessings during this eclipse season, and dun, 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 stay tuned for our next eclipse podcast episode that is for our total solar eclipse in Aries coming soon. And with that, sending all my love, be well.